There are several words that were brought up, and I think it's important that we hear from the panel. The word boundaries. Many people did not grow up with boundaries. Many people don't even understand boundaries because they're doing the best they can, but they don't have boundaries. This is huge. So I'd like for Jared, explain what you think is important about boundaries, and I'm going to have each of you speak. This is huge.
Okay. This is my opinion on the boundaries part. I know we've said it 1,000 times. Every single person has said, like, don't give up and don't blame yourself. So let me say that 101 times. Don't give up and don't blame yourself, please, because it's not on you. It's not your fault. I'm telling you, I had the very unique experience of living through the things that I lived through and coming out the other side of it, because I know for a fact that the probability of me being on his first page was through the roof. Mm. So I'm blessed for page two, you know. So as long as y'all can hold on to that hope, the boundaries I would say is this. You don't enable, but you don't lock them, lock and key. You got to find a middle ground, and everybody's different. Everybody knows everybody's different. Some people react to pressure and situations and manipulation and conversation and tone. Some people react to all those different, you know, aspects of your personality, I guess, so to speak. When you talk, they act different. So my advice from seeing it from both sides, I've seen this movie. I came out the other side. Thank God that I'm alive today to keep some more people alive. That's my plan. And the thing is, you can't go too hard on them, but you cannot wash your hands with them either. It's got to be arm's length, elbow room, but you got to make sure 100% your number one goal is, you know, that they love them, that you're going to fight for them, and that you're never going to give up. You got to make sure they know that. But you also can't hit them with three scriptures and tell them we got this Bible study and choir practice lined up for Friday night. You can't do that. Because what you got to understand is, a lot of people, I'm all for the biblical teaching. I'm all for the scripture references. It is so wholesome and legit for people that are ready for that. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you one thing. Everything is an evolution. Everything is a transition. You can't start with somebody who's at severe number 10, drug addiction, and you're starting at one. Well, in the beginning, God said, in the word, what? They're not going for that. What they're going for is, be real. Don't say, I love the Lord with all my heart. Let me be very clear. I don't want you to think I'm talking down. Don't open it like that, because that's how they're going to shut the door right back in your face. You're never going to get in the room. Talk. And let me just clear this up, too. I said talk about the Cowboys because we're in Texas. Born and raised in Shreveport, Louisiana. Who dat nation? Drew Brees is my second hero. Just so y'all know that. But talk about the Cowboys, because I know y'all might like to talk about that. Jared, good, bad, or in the middle. Hey, and let's go Hawaii.
Yeah. Okay, go Hawaii. Yeah, we're good.
Aloha.
Debbie, you take it next.
Yeah, and let me say this about dysfunction. about boundaries. Don't feed dysfunction. Don't feed dysfunction. So when your addict, when your prodigal comes in with some blame game, with some manipulation thing, and I can't believe you're not going to do this, and why can't I do this, and you listen, we don't even enter in those conversations. And this, the same way when we talk about boundaries, about healthy boundaries, you're not going to live in this home while you're high. We had another child in our home. You're not going to do drugs in this home. And you have that at a hard line. We have locked him out. We have called the police. We have nailed his window closed. We took the door off his hinges. And there is a long list of consequences for your choices. And we're not going to be parents that say, okay, well, next time, now I mean it, next time. And just don't feed. Addicts and prodigals often come with levels of unhealthy and dysfunctional habits, behaviors, friends, ideas. And don't feed that. The answer is no. Can me and John stay here tonight? His mom kicked him out. No. And sometimes just to have plain, simple, and we had about three rules. They never changed. He always knew what they were. And that's it. Anything above or beyond or less, or not just this one time, can I please, if you really love me, you would. No.
You can say to them, no. You can change the locks. You can take their keys from their car. I remember when we took one of his consequences that we took his license, and he said, I can't believe you're doing this to me. Okay, I did not do this to you. You did this to you. So we don't enter in those kinds of conversations.
Great.
I got to drive in without a license after that.
You know, I want to just affirm what Jared said. Like that 10 to 1, that's why I said preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. But that's where your prayer life comes in. Right? It's not shoving Jesus down anyone's throat.
Of course.
It's kind of like getting the lay of the land where they're at. But he's right. You can't just throw away the key. I enjoyed sobriety. When I first got sober, I did martial arts. Well, in California, I was in shape, not a shape round. Okay. So in California, but I did martial arts. I did CrossFit. I really enjoyed sobriety. Right? It was more than just going to meetings or just going to Bible study. I actually loved being sober because I could do so many cool things. So I want to affirm what Jared said with that.
Jared used to, when he got released, one thing you said is there is no high like freedom. Mm. There ain't no high like freedom.
Hey, can I say something?
Yeah, why don't you talk about when you're sitting outside all the time if we have time? No, go.
Okay, so, you know, I was incarcerated 10 years, 5 months. Well, let me tell you one thing, too. A lot of people don't realize if you were not incarcerated, my mom included. I taught her something, which is rare, but I did. And this is that. I did 10 years and 5 months incarcerated. Whenever I got out, we got a beautiful house. We got a beautiful backyard. The lake comes up. Such a blessing. I sat outside for about 3 straight days. And I'm talking about, seriously, 24 hours in a day, I was out there for 19. And I didn't have a phone. I didn't have a tablet. I wasn't drawing. I wasn't watching a movie. I was watching the birds and the grass and the wind and the fish jump out. And we got about 3 deer we're trying to get in the backyard. And somebody else is trying to kill them, but we're going to try to keep them alive. And stuff like that, people don't realize one thing. Because the other day, me and my mom were having a dispute about something. Because I told her, see, that's your problem. You take too much stuff for granted. Because you over here slamming this McGriddle that we just got from McDonald's for $1.50. But it in one ear, out the other. Because you haven't, one thing about me that's taught me so much valuable stuff is I've had so much stuff stripped away. So whenever you have everything taken down, a big thing is super cliche, but I say it every single day. Rock bottom was my solid foundation. A lot of people don't realize that. I had to get broke all the way down to nothing to build back up to what I'm doing and still building. And don't get me wrong, still have a lot of room. I'm far from the best Christian. I don't have the best walk. Some relationships could be better. There's a lot of things that I could do better in life that I would like to try to do. But you're only human. So you can't be so hard on yourself.
And he reminded me how the Lord has already provided everything that we need, free of charge, so to speak, to help us restore, to help us rejuvenate, to help us reflect, to help encourage us. He would sit, and when you're in prison, there's no air conditioning. So I thought, he's going to love being home in the air conditioning. The boy sat outside, wanted to sleep outside. And he's like, do you feel the breeze? He said, you can just, his feet had not been on green grass in 10 years. He said, I'm just standing out here in the grass. He said, do you hear the crickets, the birds? So take that for yourself and sit out in creation, because the Lord has created things to bring restoration to you. And we don't take advantage. He was right. We don't take advantage of those things.
Okay, question. What do each of you wish everyone understood, knew about prodigals? What do you wish everyone would know about having a prodigal?
It involves a spiritual battle. It's not just about a kid, a person, a drug, a thing. You have to know that there's also a spiritual battle in play. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to break down your family. He wants to take your life. He wants to steal relationships. So we have to keep in mind, too, this is also about a spiritual battle.
Man, you guys might not like me for this answer, but whatever. You're probably never going to see me again. You're one decision away yourself from being a prodigal.
That's very true. No doubt.
Every single person in this room, you're one foolish decision away from becoming a prodigal. I never worked with a guy who's, at age 12, I wanted to be a drug addict. Or at age 18, I wanted to be a drug addict. It's one foolish decision that becomes a life-dominating sin, a life-dominating issue. Now, I've also worked with, they never had an alcohol problem until all the kids left the home, that empty home, and they became an alcoholic at age 60. So what I'm saying is, yes, we've made decisions that were stupid, but what knowing about prodigals, we're all one stupid decision away. I'm one stupid decision away from going back to my old lifestyle. The church has asked me, I'll support your ministry if you can promise me that you'll be sober next year. And I tell them, I can't make that promise. I can't make that promise. Well, for today, I'm probably good, but all it's going to take is one stupid decision where I take my eyes off of Christ and I decide to be my own boss again. And then I can be right back where I was before. So that's my...
And watch for triggers. Did you notice how Jared said it when his granddad died? You mentioned when my grandfather died, when there was a sickness, when there was... Yep. The enemy is looking for those triggers to try to trigger you in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Jared.
My answer's going to be a little bit different. It's on the other side. Seriously, this is the thing that a lot of people don't know. Everybody knows that everybody's different. Everything can be treated different. Everybody reacts to certain situations differently. But the thing that I see the most as far as just, I can only speak for myself and my personal situation was, I feel like, and she said it a lot of times you don't pick up on little subtle things, little mannerisms, little behavior changes, little odd and end comments that might sound a little bit off tick. There's little bitty signs because it's always warning before destruction. Always. There's 1,000 signs that are going to let you know that it's about to be a hurricane before the hurricane get here. You never see a tornado when it's in your front yard for the first time. You know? You got to pay attention to those type of things because so many people miss out on little bitty things, and there might be one little conversation you could have, one little lunch you could have, one little heart-to-heart that you could have with this person who's trending in that direction, ain't full-blown hit the switch yet. But you've got to be aware because one thing, and I mean, we know this now, but I don't like to blame it all on death or whatever because it's my fault. I made my decisions on my own and I'm responsible for that. And that's what you have to do. But they don't know, and I can't even say it enough, how irritated I was when they was in there clapping and singing. And I was 14 years old and my grandpa died 2 days ago. I wanted to tear the pews out the church. I was so mad. And the thing is, and the way that I hold in anger is I'll hold it in for a little while and we're going to build it up. And when it blows up, it's a volcano. Everybody's going down. And if you can prevent somebody from getting to the volcano point, I'll guarantee you there's a lot of stuff that you can do along the way before the lava gets to the top. You know?
I just want real quickly, based on what Jared said, sometimes you might say, well, my prodigal is a prodigal because someone else influenced them. Your prodigal won't be that guy or girl that is the ringleader, right? So you can't always blame it on the circumstances. Like my parents, well, is your friend's fault? No, Mom, I was actually the ringleader. Or Jared, based on what I, you're the ringleader too. So I mean, don't place the blame on other people. Sometimes your prodigal is the problem.
Yeah, of course. So I just look at, can I just say one more thing? This is what I look at it like. You got to look at this in all, and this can be, this ain't just prodigal. This is in life. If there's constantly a problem with one person and everybody else, look at the common denominator. What's the common denominator is probably not you and your argument with them. It might be them and their argument with everybody else in you.
Yeah.
Just think about that. Everything ain't y'all's fault. Yeah. Take a little bit off your shoulders. Take a couple deep breaths. Say a couple prayers and hope for the best.
This old song is what gives us hope. It's... I never will forget seeing it from the standpoint of prodigal people. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've tried, Lord, I'm coming home, coming. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming. Coming home, coming home, nevermore to roam. I open wide my arms to you, Lord. I'm coming home. If you know it, sing it. If you don't, just try to sing it. Coming home, coming home, nevermore to roam. Open wide your arms of love. Lord, for the hope you've given us. Thank you for changed lives. Changed lives that you cause, that you use other people to make us desire to not stay straying, to not go off course and stay off course. Lord, thank you for your truth that sets us free. Thank you for the wise counselors. We're told that there's wisdom in many counselors. Thank you for that reminder that we've had tonight, today. And I thank you for the truth that will set so many free as we apply these truths, not giving in, not just trying to be people pleasers, not just caving in, because we don't know what else to do. Lord, you're a God of boundaries. And give us the supernatural ability, if that's what it takes, to say no to people so that we can say yes to you. To say no to a prodigal so that we can say yes that would end up causing a prodigal to hit rock bottom. Because that's the surest foundation. You are our rock. You are our Lord. You are our Redeemer. You are our Savior. Continue to give us wisdom and enable us to grow in our understanding. And thank you for giving us a heart to try to do whatever we need to do to reach out to our prodigal people. Even if it's next year, if it's next decade where there's a prodigal, may the truths that we've heard be applicable so that we can be wise. And thank you for the fact that you are a redeemer, Lord. You redeem our messes. You redeem us and set us free. We know that's your plan and purpose. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, I do want to make sure that you all have access to not just the materials that are here. We have a lot of specials that we're making affordable to you. John's book, he said, was a gift from him and from his wife. Thank you, John. That's extraordinary. And then also, there's a course that will be taking place soon. It'll be a 10-week course on reaching your prodigal. And you can sign up for it. You can ask Karen McMillan. You can ask that's okay somewhere. Anyway, so we have some people you can, I think there's something where people can sign up over there. Okay. Is that the second? Yep. Okay, that right there, that table, if you would like to check and see what it, or add your name to get something on it. It's Tuesday night, and we're going to be going through a book called Reaching Your Prodigal. My part is just literally taking the questions of all the people that are either on Zoom or on Tuesday night at First Baptist Church Dallas, and I think it's 7 to 8:30. So it'll be a pleasure to have those of you that want to come. There's already some people have told me they definitely want to take access, have access to this, because you're going to hear many, many other specifics. Karen, is there anything else to know about that that I need to say?
No, just sign up over here and register.
Okay. It is a free class, yes. So it's a pleasure to have you. God bless you. I'm so thrilled that you're a part of this, and may we continue to follow the light of the Lord to help our prodigals come into the light.